Vices Radio Network.
Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Hey guys, welcome back to the show. If you're watching this on video, this is the Think Big Bodybuilding Media channel on YouTube. If you're listening on audio, you're listening to Advices Radio Network. Sean Clarita, IFBB Pro, third place at the Olympia. Man, how do you feel, brother? Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Surreal, man. It still really hasn't hit me yet. You know, I was talking to my girlfriend. It's like a couple years ago, I was an amateur, and I used to watch all the YouTube videos of Olympia and see, you know, David Henry, Flex Lewis, all these guys battling out in that top six.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that must be awesome. How's that? I wonder how that feels. And obviously, I got my first invite to Olympia in 2015 and just slowly worked my way up. And now we're here in the top three. It's just, you know, this is obviously what you work for and obviously what we hope for. But when it finally hits you and it finally happens, it's no words. It's really no words.
Dude, I imagine, man, it's going to take the next few months just to let this sink in. And I have to ask you, you know, out the gate, because, you know, all of us that are fans are now curious. You don't have to have an answer for this. What's next? Are you planning on doing the Arnold? Are you going to wait another year? What are you thinking, man?
We're ready to 2020 Olympia. We're already qualified. I wasn't sure if I was qualified because, you know, the changes they've made this year. But the Olympia committee did put out the qualification for 2020 already. My name is on the list, and you will not see me until the 2020 Olympia.
Hell yeah, man. That's exciting. So this is going to be a big year for you. Now, yeah. You took off this entire year as well. You have not stepped on stage for a year. You know, we spoke before the show. You told me that you'd been focusing on bringing up your chest, bringing up your back. I'd really like to talk to you today about the what you guys did to do that, working with John Meadows. I'd like to talk to you about, you know, your nutrition and what you've learned this year working with Matt Jansen. But just to start, man, tell me about your weekend. I mean, first of all, I want to say for anybody who wasn't out there, for anybody who's been under a rock, you look freaking amazing. You know, I mentioned this before the show. I'm not just saying this because you're on the show here. You were one of the most conditioned guys. I'd put you right up there. You and Patrick Moore, I think, had the sickest conditioning in all of the Olympia, first of all, man. That was wicked.
You're saying it, but everyone kept saying it. You would have talked the entire show. I'm like, really? And I go back and look at pictures. I'm like, well, shit, I was happy with my conditioning. And I think this is the best look we've ever brought to the stage, for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. What was the difference? Why now were you able to hit this level of condition?
You know what? This is the first time in my pro career that I've actually had a full year to prepare for just the one show. In years prior with the Olympia, I would do two, three shows prior. And by the time I got to Olympia, my body was just worn out from dieting all year long. This year, my body was fresh. I was recovered. Again, I had the full year to prepare. I had no stress as far as making the weight class because I make the weight in the off season. So coming to Olympia, my body was 100% ready to go. And because of that, we were able to put on 10 pounds of stage muscle from last year to this year. And drastically, I think, way better conditioning than last year. So talking to Matt Jansen this past weekend after Olympia, we sat down. We said automatically, we're getting ready for Olympia. We're going to replicate what we did this year and obviously have a bigger focus on continuously making improvements to, again, my chest and my back. But overall, everything, my calves, my traps, and hopefully put on another 5 or 10 more pounds and then come back next year and just be undeniable.
Absolutely, man. Now, how tall are you?
5'2".
5'2". And what did you come in at weight-wise for this show, if you don't mind us asking?
So I stepped on the scale on Thursday at the weigh-ins, fully dressed, 173.5. Once we dried out and stepped on stage on Friday morning, I was around 169.
No kidding. It's funny, man, because, you know, this is a testament right here. You know, you hear guys that are like, oh, yeah, you know, your local guys, they're thinking like, oh yeah, I'm a middleweight, I gotta be 176, or I'm a light heavy, I gotta be 199, I gotta be at that top end. You're a testament. You don't have to if you look good, right?
Exactly. It doesn't matter what you weigh. The judges don't know what you weigh. They don't care. You know what I mean? It's just a matter of what you bring to the stage. I've always been a lighter guy in every single show since I was an amateur from day one. I was always giving up 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds. So for me, it didn't mean anything. I know what I was bringing to the stage. And I know what I was capable of. And I never let that deter anything from me.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about it. So if you guys haven't seen it, I had the opportunity to talk to Sean. We just did a really quick, you know, 2-minute interview at the Meet the Olympians. And I pointed out, you know, that Matt Jansen had said, you know, that you're a guy whose body always responds. You know, I pointed out that you were a guy who's been strong since the beginning. And, I got to thinking, what are the things that are difficult? Because I don't want to paint it as that this has just been a cakewalk for you. That's not what I want to do, because I know that that's not the case. So and I don't know what those things are. So tell me, what's the hard part for you with all this?
Again, just giving up the weight. I mean, every show is different. It depends on what the judges want that day. It could be a conditioning factor where some judges like big. Mm. And when I go into a show, and it's just like, you're just too small. Mm. You know, that's probably been the most difficult thing in my career. It's hit or miss. You know, I've won 4 pro shows under 212, obviously. But there are a lot of pro shows that I've lost simply because I was just too small. And obviously having the weak body parts that I have, like a chest in the back last year, kept me back from winning more shows, I believe. But I think now we're starting to hit the stride. We know what the game plan is. We know what works best for my body. And I think we're going to replicate next year and going forward. And, you know, hopefully, God willing, we walk away with the title next year. And I don't plan on losing the title until I decide to step away.
Right on. So what does your food look like, say, in the off season? Because I imagine that you must have a fast metabolism. You've got to be pushing calories.
Well, the biggest change since I started working with Matt was it was just food. I was under eating. I wasn't eating enough. So I sent him a plan. He'd be like, dude, the reason why you're not progressing is because you're not eating enough. Because I started my career in college. I didn't have coaches. I just had people who competed that were locally. I would eat 3 or 4 just regular meals from the cafeteria. Nothing really weighed out. So I was just literally, I was getting by my amateur career just cruising off of cafeteria food and not really weighing anything. But obviously that had to change eventually when I got, you know, into NPC, IFBB. So working with Matt now, we increased my food a lot. I mean, a lot of white rice, a lot of cream of rice. My protein intake is about 7 to 8 ounces per meal.
Okay.
We're doing roughly, you know, off season about 6 meals, I would say, plus maybe a shake. So I like to enjoy my junk food. Again, the way I train, I can utilize the junk. My biggest motto is calories in, calories out.
Okay.
Meaning, if I want to eat cookies, ice cream, all that stuff, I'm going to do so because I know I'm going to burn it off and utilize it in the gym.
What's your favorite junk food?
Oh man, ice cream and pizza.
That's it. So we're talking like after, you know, you're trying to grow chest, trying to grow back. I'm imagining you like post back day, just like large pizza in front of you, ice cream in the freezer, ready to go.
Yeah, I try to save those days, like the weekends.
Okay.
Really splurge out on the burgers or pizza or ice cream, whatever I want. This way I don't feel as guilty.
Yeah.
But it helped me obviously, you know, continue to grow. So.
That's cool, man. That's really cool. So post-workout meal then, you know, you mentioned that you're doing like 8 ounces of meat per meal, white rice. What like how much rice are we talking like in a post-workout meal?
In an off season?
Yeah.
About 250 grams, give or take.
Okay. And then how far down would you have to take your carbs to get into the condition that you got into?
The lowest we went actually this year, I'm surprised because we've been as low as, you know, 70 grams per meal, just right. It was like a drop of rice and it was like, that was it. This year we were no less than about 100 grams per meal.
Okay. And that's 6 times a day.
Yeah, exactly. I've never done 0 carbs. The last 2-3 weeks out, the last meal was carbless.
Okay.
Every other meal always had carbs.
Are you feeling that though? Because I mean, I know a guy with a fast metabolism, it's not like you're having a party there eating that much rice at every meal. You know, you still have to suffer to get into the condition you were in.
Yeah.
You
know? It gets to the point where even though I was still eating the carbs, it just wasn't enough.
Yeah, I bet.
But at that point, my cardio has increased.
Okay.
Just burning. And even though I'm putting the food in, it's just going right through me at that point.
What kind of cardio works for you best?
So we started out generally around about 30 minutes, and then when it's halfway through, we kicked up about 45 minutes. And toward like the last 4 or 5 weeks or so, we would go to 50 minutes plus an additional 20 minutes at night.
Now, is that slow, steady state, or what are you doing?
Yeah, I usually do the Stairmaster at a steady state. I keep my level around, I start off for like 4, I usually finish around 7 or 8. So my heart rate is anywhere between, you know, 140, 150 when I'm doing that.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, we had talked before that you're training, you're everything that you're doing training wise. Now, John Meadows has been helping you with that. You had said in our previous video that you are training chest and back 2 times a week. I'd love to talk to you, pick your brain a little bit more about that. In the past, I take it you'd been training, everything once a week?
When I first started, yeah, it was pretty much once a week, standard, typical bodybuilding split. And obviously it worked because, you know, it worked for me at that point in time. But again, moving forward, I need to make even more progress. So since I started working with John, again, we sat down, looked at pictures, looked at the feedback of the judges, and realized that my chest, because my shoulders are so big, dominant just naturally, that they overpowered my chest.
Okay.
So my chest got smaller. So what we did was we actually cut back on the shoulder training and increased the chest training. So I'll give you what my split was. My split was pretty much Mondays was back and biceps. Tuesday was chest, shoulders, triceps. Wednesday was quads. Thursday, we repeated day one, which was back and arms, but it was more so a lighter day. So our first heavy day is Monday, and then a second back day was usually like a pump day, which is more so machines, cables, as opposed to the first day, which is dumbbells, barbells, compound movements. And then Friday, we would do chest again, chest, shoulders, triceps again. Same method as a pump day, just cables, machines, just getting more blood in there. And then Saturday mornings, we would do hamstrings and glutes and calves. And then Sunday would be my off day.
Okay. Now you had mentioned before that you get a lot of rest. Because I asked you how do you recover from all that? When you say you get a lot of rest, are you sleeping a lot? I mean, define what rest means to you?
Yeah. So pretty much what I do, I mean, from the start of prep, I mean, I work from home, obviously. Bodybuilding is my full time career now, thankfully. So what I do is I do cardio at 4:30 in the morning with my girlfriend. We get up at 4:30. The reason why I get up at 4:30 because she has to be at work at 7:30. So I can get up whenever I want, but because we do it together, I'll get up early with her, do my cardio, I'll come home, eat my first meal, and I go back to bed. And I'll wake up at my next meal, and obviously I'll eat again and just relax for the whole entire day. Even if I'm not sleeping, I'm still relaxing and not doing anything, so I'm still recovering and resting. So I do get a lot of rest throughout the day, but also I think getting a lot of Graston, cupping, deep tissue, all that stuff 3 times a week has definitely helped my body be able to recover.
Yeah, that makes sense, man. So, you know, overall, the sets and reps wise, you know, if you're hitting chest, say twice a week, are you hitting the twice as much volume as you would have, or is that now split up in some way?
So it's pretty much the same, to be honest with you. So I would say my compound day, my heavier day, like Monday, say back day, my reps anywhere between 6 and 8, pretty heavy. And I'll do maybe 1 or 2 warm-up sets and then maybe 2 all-out sets. So I'm choosing maybe 4. John has a plan. Usually it's like 3 to 4 decent sets, decent workout exercise, and I'll maybe add another one in there that I prefer or I like to do. So I usually walk away with 5 back exercises and 2 bicep exercises.
What does heavy look like for you? Because I know you're. What's heavy look like for you? Because I know you're a strong dude.
I can dumbbell row the 170s, T-bar row anywhere, couple of plates. I can squat over 500, 515 for reps. I can leg press 1300. I'm just a strong guy, I guess. I don't know.
That's what I've heard, man. I've heard, like I said before, you know, I've heard you've been strong, you know, basically your whole life, just a strong dude. I know John does a lot of his cues relate to controlling the weight in specific ways. Is he having you do anything specific with how you perform reps, or is he just saying, you know, hit 8?
Yeah, no, he just hit 8. He knows that I'm gonna get the job done with the best of my ability. He just has me hit a set number, a particular exercise, and I just kind of go for it.
Okay.
I've been with John plenty of times, and he's seen how I've trained, and he's never really had a problem with it. So I think we're in a good position with that.
What's it like working out with him?
Oh man, it's. I mean, you know, you have his program in front of you. It's great and it's hard, but when he's actually there physically pushing you through it, it's like, it's just so much different because he's there, looking at you. He's yelling at you. He's having you do extra reps, extra sets. It's definitely a good motivation. I actually trained with him 3 weeks after Olympia. He was up here at Bev's, and we trained back, obviously. And he put us through a workout. And again, I'm always learning something new with John, either exercise, a positioning, or how to hold things, or how to hit things a certain way. It's absolutely phenomenal.
So Bev's gym, that's now you're in New Jersey. So that's up in Syosset. I'm not super familiar with locations out there. Is that super far from you, or is that a place you can go on a regular basis?
No, it's about an hour 15 for me. So I don't go there too regularly.
Okay. Tell me about the gym that you do train at normally.
So I have three different gyms. I have my powerhouse in South Hackensack. I've been training at since I was an amateur. I also train at Signature Fitness, which is near here in Belleville, New Jersey. And there's a new gym I opened up here in Cedar Knolls called Iron Culture, which is very old school, hardcore bodybuilding. Every gym has equipment that I like, you know, and I kind of say I like doing legs here, or I like doing back here. So I have those gyms to kind of choose from each week to kind of, you know, get the job done.
Do you run into any other pros out there in any of the gyms you train at?
A few, mostly like physique guys or girls. But as far as like I've seen Victor a couple of times, Victor Martinez, he trains at the Signature Fitness that I go to. A few other guys, but you know, I really don't pay much attention, to be honest.
Right on. You're in there to get the job done at this point. Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows. So tell me though, you know, I know that you're not only a bodybuilder, but you're a fan of bodybuilding. Who are the guys that you've looked up to? The guys, you know, like we said at the beginning, you said, you know, you're talking about going to the Olympia and thinking like, man, this is like where my heroes have been. And now you're in their shoes. Who are the guys that came to mind at that time?
First and foremost, Dexter Jackson.
And you got to see him. And, you know, you guys were in the same Olympia, which is, you know, that's crazy.
I've known Dexter for years, and now I'm able to call him a friend. I can pick up the phone and call him if I need something. He started out as a bantamweight, so seeing his career go from bantamweight to Mr. Olympia to being the winningest bodybuilder of all time, it just kind of, in my mind, it kind of told me I almost follow those same footsteps. And I've done it almost to an extent, whereas I started out as a bantamweight, and I slowly, you know, worked my way up to winning pro shows, getting very close to winning the Olympia, hopefully, next year. So obviously Dexter Jackson has been my biggest idol, role model in this sport. Flex Wheeler, who I believe my body emulates a lot as far as the muscle bellies, conditioning factor, a big fan of Flex's as well. And then obviously the shorter guys like Marvin Ward. I don't know if you guys remember who that was.
Oh yeah. Marvelous Marvin Ward. Of course.
He was like 4'11", but it's like the guy was as thick as a brick, you know? So again, another guy that was short, but doing very well. It's like, well, damn, he's doing it. Why can't I? And then I kind of just said, F, I'm going to go for it. And here we are.
That's pretty cool, man. So have you ever had a chance to train with Dexter?
Have I trained with Dexter? I don't remember. I don't think we ever trained. We've always hung out and like joked around and stuff like that. But as far as training wise, I don't believe so. No.
All right. Well, you got to put that on the list then at this point, man. Yeah. I got to tell you, man, when we were at the press conference, and, you know, they said this next guy, this is his, I think they said like 20th Olympia. My mind still can't even process that somebody could be in 20 Olympias. Like, how is that even possible? You know,
been doing like, what, 3 decades, 4 decades of the sport, and he's still going.
Yeah.
Still in the top 4, top 5. I mean, in the world at almost 50 years old, it's just mind boggling.
And he's still looking amazing. You know, it's like, you know, what we thought maybe he was going to start slipping a year or so ago, and then he comes back and it's like, oh, he fixed it. How could he get better at this age? It's so cool. It's inspiring to me. You know, it's just an average guy who's getting older. I'm like, man, I don't know how many years I got. And then I'm like, well, Dexter's still doing it. You know,
I'm the same way. It's like, well, how many more years do I have in this? But I mean, I tell least 10 to 15 more, hopefully, in this sport.
Yeah, that, yeah, man, and I'm sure too. You know, you're a young guy still. You know, as far as bodybuilding is concerned, you're a strong dude. I feel like that you have a natural propensity for this. It's not like you've had to, you know, push the limits to get where you are. You know, I feel like this is something that you should be able to, you know, continue doing for a long, long time. As far as guys that you look up to, you know, you being in the 212, you had the opportunity to be a fan just like the rest of us for the Open. I want to hear your thoughts. Who did you like in the Open this year?
Big fan of both, again, Dexter and Brandon. Those are my boys. Rolly, obviously, my boy as well. But I was hoping for Brandon and Dexter to be the top two guys. You know, and obviously, Brandon pulled out the win. I'm very happy for him because he sacrificed so much, man, to get where he's at. And no one deserves it more than him.
I totally agree, man. I was really excited for that. I've been really feeling like he's had some momentum, you know, especially this last year coming into the Arnold and then this. It's like it just made sense. I had the chance to talk to him, you know, before the show, and it just sounded to me like the stars were all aligning, and you know, and it's cool to see that happen for someone.
I mean, I believe timing is everything, you know, with him, you know, same thing. I'm sure it's, you know, going from where he was before, no one really, you know, having a radar to do anything. He was pretty much almost dead last in Olympia to batter and Abdullah taking a chance and bringing him to Oxygen and, you know, bringing him to where he's at now. I mean, it you know, the seclusion of being in Kuwait helped him. And I was out there. I was fortunate to be in Kuwait for about a week in 2 years ago. And I can understand why these guys are so much better because they're literally all they're doing is eat, sleep, and training.
Tell me more about that, man. So this was, did you say how long ago was it that you were up there?
2017. I was out there for the Kuwait Pro. They flew us out there. They set us up in the apartment and everything. So pretty much what Brandon was doing is what we were doing, but Brandon obviously was there a lot longer. So they put us into an apartment, and literally we had to worry about nothing. We had food delivered every single day waiting for us in our refrigerator. The gym was right next door. The gym was, oh my God, it was absolutely amazing. That level, like they're saying, hey, what are you training today? I'm like, maybe a little bit of arms. And they would say, okay, third floor. It's like, what? This is floors? You know, so there was different levels. You didn't have to wait for any machines. They also had like a cafe set up where they weighed your food for you right there. You wanted a massage, you can go down the hall and get a massage, swimming pool, hot tub. It was crazy. It's crazy.
If anything, I feel like the only thing you would have there is loneliness. Like, you know, you don't have, you know, like you don't have your family there. You don't have your familiar surroundings. And I suppose, you know, this I think the way Brandon would look at it is that this is just like you're putting your time in. You're doing this thing. And then, you know, and after that, you know, it's like you were saying, man, it's going to allow you to push, you know, that much further. You ever considered going out there doing something like that? Just curious.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about that with my girlfriend and she understands the reasons why I would do it. Yeah, I love my family and all, but even before like bodybuilding, I was always like a loner. Like, I don't like to party. I don't like to go out. I like to kind of stay home and do my own thing and just watch TV. So if I were out there, it really wouldn't bother me, to be honest with you. Yeah, I'd miss my family for sure. But like the whole party life and hanging out with my friends, that doesn't really affect me because I don't do that here.
I know.
I would have loved to have gone out there and done that. But obviously, I have a great team here. With both Matt and John, that's been working. If we have the opportunity to go out there just to train, maybe Matt and myself, absolutely, I would definitely do it.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man. I totally see what you mean, though. There's no sense in fixing something that isn't broken. You mentioned you felt like you're more of like a, you know, bodybuilding, it's an individual sport. Of course, we have people around us that are supporting us. I know a lot of people have come to the sport from team sports, guys that say played football in high school or college, started training and then kept doing it. What was your story? How did you get into it?
Well, I was a wrestler in high school. So again, it's just me and an opponent, you know, that was it. So again, I mean, I've played sports all my life, baseball, basketball. But what really got me into training and the weights was wrestling. Hmm. I started wrestling in high school, my junior year. I was 103 pounds.
Okay.
Yeah, very small. So obviously the coaches wanted me training to get stronger at that point. Not necessarily bigger, but just stronger. Fell in love with the sport fell in love with the sport of wrestling my senior year, and I wanted to continue that into college. So I found that I wanted to stay pretty local but go to a good wrestling school. So I actually attended Rider University, which is a D1 wrestling program. here in Jersey, one of the best wrestling programs in New Jersey. Met with the coaches saying, hey, you know, even though I'm going to walk on, I was a walk on, which is very rare to do at a D1 school. They gave me the chance to do it. I made the team as a walk on. And at that point, it was literally the coaches had me in the weight room every single day just to get bigger at that point. Like, you're only 110 pounds. You got to get bigger if you want to start this 125 class, because 125 was the lightest weight class. I said, no problem. So when the guys were outside running to cut weight for the season, I was forced to go to the weight room and to the cafeteria to get bigger. So at that point in time, you know, training the gym, and my gym that I was training at the time was an open community gym, so anyone can come in from outside to train. And there was a guy named Tom Garuba, and I swear I wish I knew where he was today, because he is the one that got me started in all this. He was an old school bodybuilder from like the 80s, 90s. He would show me all his VHS tapes of him competing, and he's the one that looked at me and said, you have a great physique. You ever thought about bodybuilding? And I had no idea what bodybuilding was. And he explained to me what it was, showed me all his videos, and he kind of is the one that got me started in all this. And, you know, I fell in love with it instantly. He helped me do my first show after 3 months of just training. And my first show, I literally quit wrestling right then and there and pursued by full time.
Yeah. Wow. And how old were you then?
23.
23. Yeah. So you quit wrestling. You had the opportunity to do a walk on, and you were like, you loved it so much that you're like, you completely switched gears at that point.
So close to being a starter for the program, and I fell in love with bodybuilding. I took a chance. I loved it that much. So I told the coaches, like, you know, I'm going to quit and pursue this bodybuilding thing. And they respected it. They understood. And I'm sure today they understood why. I'm sure they're happy with my decision. But, yeah, Tom Garuba, man. Oh, man, I wish I knew where he was today, because I've been trying to find this guy since forever. And, again, I can't thank him enough. If he's ever watching or seeing me, I would love to just connect with him again.
Damn, I can so relate to that too. I think we all have like our own, did you say Garuba? Garuba is his last name? Our own Tom Garubas, you know, in our lives that we can look back at, man, that have planted some seeds and given something to us, you know?
It wasn't for him, man, I probably wouldn't know who you are. I probably wouldn't be talking to you. I would not be doing this, because it was never a thought. No one else ever, you know, stepped, you know, put this into my head. He was the first foot.
So you were 23 at that time when you did your first show. How old are you now?
37.
So I think it's an important note. And this is, you know, considering we only talked for 2 minutes in that pre-show interview, I feel like we covered a lot of stuff, because you also made the point that this isn't something that happens, you know, overnight. And I feel like it's easy to feel like it does nowadays. You know, you see these guys, I may work with a nutrition client that like they have it in their head, they're new, and they're like, well, I'm going to be competing at the Arnold Amateur next year. I'm like, well, hold on a minute. You've only been lifting weights for 6 months, you know, but people see these quick transformations and it looks like you can become a Sean Clarita. Hey, I weigh 180 pounds. I don't have to gain that much more. It, you know, things can get kind of twisted pretty damn quick. And that's not the reality of it, man. So you've been doing this for quite a while now. And most people are not going to achieve the level you have in that frame of time, let alone 20 more years. Talk to me about just the journey that you've been on. I hate to use that word because it's almost cliche, but you know, the journey that you've been on and the amount of time that you've had to just keep putting one brick on top of the next.
You know, it is a journey, a very long, long journey, 14 years of doing this. This Olympia was my 49th show. People don't realize I've done 49 shows all around the world. I've been everywhere. So a lot of Protan has been used. I think what happens now with guys, man, they get so caught up in the hype of Pro Card and the social media, and they think they're going to be Insta famous and they want to be coaches. And, you know, if you're doing it for that, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You know, I told you if bodybuilding shows ended tomorrow, I'd still be in the gym training the same way, because I fell in love with the training aspect. And because I fell in love with the training aspect, I like seeing my body progress. Bodybuilding just so happens to be there for me to show that off, to display that. But again, if it didn't exist, I'd still be in the gym training and love seeing my body progress from day to day. But, you know, obviously we have the platform of bodybuilding shows to display that, and obviously are able to make this a career if we're at a certain level. being the Olympia level. But yeah, it has been a long journey. It's been 14 years of just grinding, like day in and day out, and just proving a lot of, not new suggestions, like proving people wrong, but proving myself right. Because I believed in myself since day one. If you don't, that's the biggest thing. You have to have consistency and belief in yourself. If you don't have those things, I'm sorry, three things. You have to have consistency, belief, and passion. I told you that as well. You have to love this. I absolutely love this sport. I love the training. I love all this. I'm consistent. I don't miss training sessions. I don't miss meals. I don't miss cardio sessions. You know, this is something I'm absolutely infatuated with. And yeah, it gets hard. There are days where I literally would sit here and cry because I am just at that breaking point. But then I stop and I realize, like, this is temporary. The end of there's a light at the end of this tunnel, and I'm going to get there. I just got to keep pushing. And I'm not just doing it for myself. I'm doing it for my family. I'm doing it for my friends, the people who support me, my sponsors, and most importantly, the fans who can constantly send me messages and comments and motivational, you know, that thing keeps me going, you know. And I can't thank my entire team, the supporters, everyone for keeping me going these past 14 years.
Man, it's heavy stuff right there. It really is. I feel like until you've really gone through it, you can't understand just how emotional a prep is, you know, and how intense it can get at times.
Yeah, it's. I kid you not. I would literally sit there and just cry because it's. I don't even know why. I just think it was just at that point. It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. I got an hour of sleep and my body is still sore from the night before, and it's like I don't have much food in my system. It's just like I got to get through this session and I'm in pain and it hurts. I really don't want to do this, and you know, I'm just like, fuck it, soak it up. Let's go. It's one more day closer. It's going to happen. My day is coming. And this is probably one of the easiest yet the hardest preps ever because it was the Olympia. Because, again, it was the easiest because I didn't have any shows prior to do. So I was just focused on one show. But hardest in the sense that I really needed to make this happen this year. With Flex not being there, this was my time. Even if I didn't win it, my goal was top three. If I was in that top three, I'm setting myself up for a future win, in my opinion. I need to be in that top three this year to solidify myself as one of the top guys, one of the guys that's going to be fighting for that title within the next couple of years. So yeah, I really worked. We really pushed for this one. And I think I know for sure this is the best package we've ever brought to the stage.
Yeah, I would agree, man. Like I said too, your, you know, size absolutely improved. And, you know, as I keep mentioning, man, that conditioning, I mean, I know it, everybody always says like, oh man, I would have had you higher. You know, that's what people say. I mean, honestly, and this is no offense to Derek Lunsford, I honestly would have had you higher. I really did like Kamal, honestly, man. And I felt like, I do feel that Kamal was definitely deserving, but I would have put you behind him and I would have put you close because you guys both were peeled out of your minds. When he turned around, you know, the lower half, I thought looked really good and back looked really good. And I would have nodded to him probably. But outside of that, man, I mean, and maybe it's just because I am a fan of people that put the work in, like the real hard, nasty conditioning work. And that's, you can't just get that. I know that it takes suffering to be that. And I hate to use that word suffering because we choose to do it. So it's not like somebody's doing it to you, but you gotta work to get what you got to.
Yeah, and it was funny, and I don't know if people realize this. It was the night before prejudging morning. It was 10 o'clock at night, and it was three guys left in tanning. Myself, Kamal, and Derek.
No way.
Yeah, so we were the only three guys left at tanning at 10 o'clock at night, and we're just sitting there talking, just BSing. I looked over, and I was like, you know what, guys? This we're going to be the top three guys, I bet you. And they're all like, oh, you think so? I was like, yeah, it's going to be us. And looking at Kamal backstage, like then tanning, and then him hitting shots, Kamal was on. Like, he was like, I'm a realist, and yeah, I want to win. But at the same time, Kamal was absolutely peeled to the bone. He had everything. And if I lost to anyone, it would have been Kamal. And I was grateful for him. I'm happy for him. So there's a picture that I have of me hugging him that I'm going to post up eventually. But I was genuinely happy for him to win because the story he's people don't realize he's 47 years old, and he did not have an easy journey to get to the IFBB. You know, he had to obviously get permission from certain people and get the invite. And so it wasn't an easy road for him. So for him to win the Arnold to now win the Olympia, I mean, it was an amazing story. And I'm glad that I'm not saying he beat me, but I'm happy for him genuinely.
I think that's, man, that's great sportsmanship right there to be able to appreciate that, you know, for him. I think that that's really cool. And yeah, he, from what I understand, he has had a hard road to get where he is. That said, man, I hear he's retiring. He, at least he announced that at the press conference.
He did, but I heard he's not.
Hey, listen, if I won the Olympia, I'm not retiring either. I'll tell you that.
I don't know why he would, but if he is, great, you know. But at the end of the day, it doesn't mean I'm automatically in the running. It doesn't mean Derek's automatically in the running.
Sure.
There's guys that are gonna come up and who can probably try to knock us out. All we can do is get better and improve and try to stay in that mix and fight for next year's title.
Yeah. Who else are you a fan of in the 212?
Wow, who am I
fan of? I mean, and that's not to single anybody out saying you're not a fan of other guys, but you know, we all have our guys as fans of bodybuilding, people that we go, man, I really like that dude's physique, you know?
You know who I really thought should have been in the mix? Eduardo Correa.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, he's been around for a long time too, man.
I had him in a mix simply because of what he's done in the past. He was as high as second to Flex. The guy's always brought the nastiest conditioning. Yeah, he's had a few injuries, a few hiccups here along the way. But I think he's about 90% back to where he was. And looking at him backstage, I really thought that this guy genuinely was going to push for a top finish. Obviously, it didn't work out that way, but I'm a huge fan of Eduardo. Great guy. Also a fan of Hadi. You know, he and I have had a chance to hang out when we were in Korea together last year. Thankfully, he was in the open this year because he would have probably killed all of us.
I can't imagine that dude making 212 now after I see him on the open stage. That's crazy.
I said if I were in Hadi's shoes and had the opportunity to either go 212 or open, I'm going to go open because it's a bigger payout, but it's a bigger prestige. No offense to us 212 guys, but like, listen, if I'm capable, he's won open shows already. So if you're winning open shows, why would you go back down to 212? You know, yeah. That's my thinking, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, no kidding, man. So, you know, you mentioned when we got started, you've obviously, your phone's been ringing off the hook. You just got back from Vegas the other day. I imagine you're trying to catch up on your sleep. But what's life like? You know, just a week ago, you know, you were going into this and it's a whirlwind now to where you are now. I mean, tell me about life at this moment.
You know, it's been great. Now, again, just constant messages and pictures are floating everywhere. And like you were saying, people are saying, I had you as high as first. And I greatly appreciate that. And again, that things like that keeps me motivated. I haven't trained since the show. I'm actually going to be training today, but I have been doing cardio every single day since the show to be able to counteract that rebound from all the foods and the fluids.
I have a feeling your girl's making you do that. She's like, come on, we got to get going.
Making her do that, actually. It's like day after the show, and I'm literally up the next morning to go and doing cardio. I was like, I gotta keep my groove going. This is what I like. This is my daily thing. My coach is like, you gotta slow down. Like, no, I gotta keep doing this cardio, you know?
I think too, like, we get programmed, you know what I mean? Like, you'd been doing this, all this momentum into the show. It's hard to just shut all of it off, right?
Yeah, I mean, eventually I'm gonna slow down, obviously, once the retention kind of calms down, because then we're gonna move into that phase of off season where I'm really gonna look to push the off season as far as the growth and the improvements. And again, seeing what we did this year, we're gonna replicate it times two. You know, this year I got up to about my heaviest ever is 190 in the off season. I told my coach I want to get to 220 this year.
No kidding, man. That's gonna be a lot of Sean Clarita right there.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be on stage. I mean, I hate putting numbers on things because numbers don't matter. But obviously, when you're putting focus on certain body parts, you just happen to grow along with it. Your weight just happens to grow along with it. So this year, I was on stage at 169. Next year, I want to be on stage, you know, 175, 180. You know, and I really think I have to push that weight this year. The focus, again, is going to be continuously the back. I keep hearing my back is just narrow. I don't have enough width, enough thickness. And then it keeps playing over my head. Mm. You need more of this. And I actually had a chance to talk to Iris Kyle, who we is 10-time Miss Olympia and probably one of the best backs in not just women bodybuilding, but in bodybuilding, period. And she gave me some great advice. She obviously was sitting front row. She told me what I needed to work on. And if Iris is telling you what you need to work on, you're going to listen because it's Iris Kyle. You know, and
was she telling you specific like parts of your back or how to train it or what kind of stuff was she giving you?
Oh, she was literally breaking it down. Like, she's like, you need to work on this, you need to work on this, you need to do these exercises, blah, 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 blah. So she really broke it down for me what I needed to focus on and what I needed to do to bring those up.
Yeah, she's like the female Ronnie, basically.
Yeah, literally. Yeah, I mean, you look at her back, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to say she's wrong, because she's, her back is probably one of the best, but her best body part, I would say.
Yeah, no kidding, man. That's really cool. That's gotta feel great to be on this high right now, you know, having gotten through this now and having all this support. Man, I'm really excited for you. So that's gonna happen. Eventually you're gonna shift into a mass phase. Right now, you're just kind of cooling down. Will you be doing like guest appearances, stuff like that through the year, I take it?
I'm hoping so. You know, I'm really hoping to get, you know, start doing some more guest posing, some seminars, appearances, anything like that. I try to support all the local shows, either Steve Weinberger or his local shows here. I like to go to the show just to support them and the amateurs. I'm definitely looking, hopefully, to get some appearances going, some seminars, possibly sign some new sponsorship opportunities coming up. So again, I'm riding this high, you know, and getting a lot of messages, a lot of calls, and I'm definitely gonna take advantage of it.
Hell yeah, man. Well, is there anything else I haven't asked you that we should talk about here?
No, I think that was it. I think that was it for the most part, right? Let me think. Future plans, I told you that. And yeah, I think that was pretty much it, really. I mean, in a nutshell.
Well, I want to definitely stay tuned. We'll be following along with everything that you're doing, you know, following along on your social media. Guys, we've got Sean's social media and everything in the show notes. So definitely, if you're not following him, you should start right now and keep an eye out for everything you're doing. Man, I can't thank you enough for taking the time here today. This really does mean a lot to me. I got so much great feedback on the video that we had done before. And your positivity is just infectious, man. Like, I just got done training, came home, ate my food, sat down. I'm like, I'm ready to go back.
Ready.
Yeah. I'm ready to go back, man. I'm not gonna. I need to get some work done first. But I mean that, though. It's cool, man, to see people that are positive in the sport. And I'm really grateful that you could take the time to talk to me and share this with the listeners and viewers.
Yeah, absolutely. As far as social media goes, like, I put up this year I put a post up yesterday. Like, no one really saw what I looked like all year. I didn't post any progress pictures. I hate progress pictures, because we know what that doesn't really mean anything. So most of my video, most of my content this year was all videos, and a lot of guys were thanking me because it gave them ideas and tips and ways to train their body parts. So you guys can expect a lot more videos from me going forward. I'm definitely gonna get my YouTube page back up and running 100%. So you guys, if you guys are following, great. If you're not, please do. And I definitely won't disappoint you guys.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Guys, definitely follow along. And like I said, everything that Sean's doing, you can check that out in the show notes for another episode of Advices Radio and Think Big Bodybuilding Media at YouTube. We got IFBB Pro Sean Clarita, top 3 finisher at the Olympia 212. Thank you so much, Sean. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate it.
Advices Radio Network.